Welcome to Day 15 of My Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries in California. Today we are changing versions to the New American Standard Bible, and we are reading the last three chapters of the book of Job. And what a magnificent ending this book has, and it's a chapter that will encourage you, I believe. So we will begin at Job chapter 40, verse 1, and read through the end of chapter 42. Then the Lord said to Job, "Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? I lay my hand on my mouth. Once I have spoken, and I will not answer, even twice, and I will add nothing more." Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm and said, "Now gird up your loins like a man. I will ask you, and you instruct me. Will you really annul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be justified? Or do you have an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like his? Adorn yourself with eminence and dignity, and clothe yourself with honor and majesty. Pour out the overflowings of your anger, and look on everyone who is proud and make him low. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him, and tread down the wicked where they stand. Hide them in the dust together, bind them in the hidden place. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Behold now, Behemoth, which I made as well as you. He eats grass like an ox. Behold now, his strength is in his loins, and his power in the muscles of his belly. He bends his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs are like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Let his maker bring near his sword. Surely the mountains bring him food, and all the beasts of the field play there. Under the lotus plants he lies down, in the covert of the reeds in the marsh. The lotus plants cover him with shade. The willows of the brook surround him. If a river rages, he's not alarmed. He is confident, though the Jordan rushes to his mouth. Can anyone capture him when he's on watch? With barbs, can anyone pierce his nose? Chapter 41. Can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook, or press down his tongue like a cord? Can you put a rope in his nose, or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you, or will he speak to you soft words? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him for a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird, or will you bind him for your maidens? Will the traders bargain over him? Will they divide him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons, or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. You will not do it again. Behold, your expectation is false. Will you be laid low even at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he dares to arouse him. Who then is he that can stand before me? Who has given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not keep silence concerning his limbs, or his mighty strength, or his orderly frame. Who can strip off his outer armor? Who can come within his double mail? Who can open the doors of his face? Around his teeth there is terror. His strong scales are his pride, shut up as with a tight seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They clasp each other and cannot be separated. His sneezes flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning torches. Sparks of fire leap forth. out of his nostrils smoke goes forth, as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes forth from his mouth. In his neck lodges strength, and dismay leaps before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together, firm on him and immovable. His heart is as hard as a stone, even as hard as a lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty fear. Because of the crashing, they are bewildered. The sword that reaches him cannot avail, nor the spear, the dart, or the javelin. He regards iron as straw, bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned into stubble for him. Clubs are regarded as stubble. He laughs at the rattling of the javelin. His underparts are like sharp potsherds. He spreads out like a threshing sledge on the mire. He makes the depths boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a jar of ointment. Behind him, he makes a wake to shine. One would think the deep to be gray-haired. Nothing on earth is like him, one made without fear. He looks on everything that is high. He is king over all the sons of pride. Chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you will instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. It came about, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you. For I will accept him, so that I may not do with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went, and did as the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him. And they ate bread with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversities that the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him 1 piece of money and each a ring of gold. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named the first Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Karen Hapuk. In all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons, 4 generations. And Job died, an old man and full of days. That is the end of the book of Job and the end of today's reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. Well, we have just finished the book of Job, and these last three chapters are quite fascinating because they show us several amazing things, and today we will touch on just a few of them and end with the restoration of Job, which is a fantastic encouragement to all of us, regardless of where we are in our lives. The first thing I want to bring to your attention is this. Do you remember back in chapter 23 when Job said to his friends, if God would just give me, you know, a fair trial, I would have all kinds of things I would argue on my own behalf and show the Lord how I'm righteous. And we find that when the Lord actually comes and speaks to Job, we don't find him making any argument for himself. After the first questions that the Lord asked him in chapter 39, in chapter 40, Job's answer is, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. He basically is brought to silence by the questions the Lord asks him about where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, and he's pointing out the insignificance of man in comparison with the greatness of God. And so Job is brought to silence after the first set of questions that God asks. And then God goes on to ask him more questions. And there's much in those in that chapter 40 about and 41 about the questions asked by God. But let's just move to the place where Job answers. The first set of questions brought Job to the place where he's just going to put his hand over his mouth and say, I have nothing to say. The second set of questions brought him to repentance. Job's answer to the Lord was, I know that you can do all things and that no purposes of yours can be thwarted. And he goes on to say how he was speaking things he didn't know what he was saying. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. He said, I'm talking about things I don't know anything about. And that was basically his confession to the Lord that he was wrong. And then he goes on to say, I've heard about you by the hearing of the ear, but now I've had an encounter with you face to face. And so I take back everything I said, because he says, therefore I retract. He's retracting all his foolish things he said, even though he was under great pressure. He retracts them, and then he repents. He says, I repent in dust and ashes. So he completely humbles himself before the Lord and repents for the foolish things that he said, accusations he's made, or just for questioning God in the midst of his adversity. And I will say that, you know, from the results of this, that the Lord accepted Job's repentance, his humbling of himself, and obviously he gave Job grace that he had said these things out of tremendous pressure. It was satanic pressure. We know that from the beginning of the story. Satan himself had unleashed a barrage of attack against this man of God, and under the pressure of loss and trauma, and then I think the physical pain of the sickness he was suffering from, these boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, horrific pain, that out of that he spoke things he wished he could take back when he really met the Lord face to face. So people do say things when they're under tremendous pressure, as Job was, and obviously the Lord forgave him and graced him completely, because the next verses in chapter 42 are so beautiful, and they speak of the restoration of Job, the complete deliverance that God gave to Job in his circumstances, and complete just restoring of his life. It is so beautiful. But before that happened, God himself gave Job a prescription for his own deliverance. Did you recognize what that prescription was? It's quite profound. We find that the prescription of God for Job to see his own restoration had to do with Job being required by the Lord to forgive his friends for everything they had said, to release them completely, and then to pray and intercede on their behalf to the Lord and ask God to bless them. Now that is very interesting. Imagine these three friends who had accused him falsely, had told him he was a terrible man who must have sinned deeply and secretly, and that God was exposing that by bringing all this trial and adversity and tragedy on his life, though those were false statements both about God and about Job. It was false to say that God was the author of the tragedy. That was absolutely not true, as we know from the first couple chapters of Job, where we see Satan is the one who instigated all the trouble that was unleashed against Job. And secondly, it was not true about Job that he had some secret sin in his life that brought on all this trouble. So we find that they had wrongly accused both Job and God. So God required Job, though he had been wronged by these men, to forgive them, to totally release them, meaning I don't hold any of this against you whatsoever. And not only that, God required Job to become their intercessor, interceding, praying for God to forgive them and to bless them. Fascinating prescription, but it's a spiritual principle that we see here. You know, I have observed people who became so bitter and so unforgiving and so resentful of people who had either been possibly partially the cause of some trouble in their life, maybe the total cause, or maybe they just did not show up when the person was going through a deep, dark season of their life, and maybe they felt abandoned by this person, not supported, not helped. I have seen people who were so deeply hurt by the reaction of others during their trial that they became resentful of those people, and the bitterness, seed of bitterness, the seed of resentment, the seed of unforgiveness planted in their heart grew up to choke out their life, and they lived the rest of their life angry, resentful, bitter toward the people who maybe just didn't help them in a time of need, or maybe they were people who caused their problems. Maybe it was a business partner who cheated them, or a husband or wife that left and abandoned them and perhaps committed adultery against them or whatever. But the person who was sinned against died miserably because they refused to forgive, to release, and to bless those people who had hurt them. And yet, God required Job to do exactly that, and it was God's prescription for Job's healing and restoration. It demanded that Job extend mercy to basically his persecutors and actually ask God to bless them. And you know, this is exactly what Jesus taught his disciples to do in the New Testament, in the Gospels. In Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So we see perfect agreement with the Old Testament and the New Testament in this principle that is displayed here in the book of Job. God gave this prescription to Job. You want restoration, you want deliverance, you want your life restored after all this trauma you've been through? Then here's the prescription. Forgive those who have wronged you. release them from your heart, and then become their intercessor. Begin to pray for them. Ask God to forgive them and ask God not to punish them for their sins. Wow. Jesus did that, remember? When he was on the cross, being crucified, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was being murdered by these people, nailed to a cross to die. And instead of saying, "Lord, don't forget what they did against me," he said, "Please, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And I tell you the truth. Most people, when they hurt others, they are unaware of what they are doing to the other party. They're very often unaware. They don't realize the depth of hurt they're causing, or they're just completely oblivious because of their own self-centeredness, how their lack of attention or lack of help or lack of just being there is hurting someone else. So the prayer that Jesus prayed is the wisest prayer. "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Don't punish them for their sins. Don't hold it against them, Lord." That's how Jesus prayed. And God instructed Job to do exactly the same thing. And it's interesting. There's a man by the name of William Law who lived a couple centuries ago, and he was a minister of the gospel. And he said something so profound that I've never forgotten this. It's so amazing. He said, "There is nothing that makes us love a man so much as prayer for him." Let me say it again. "There is nothing that makes us love a man so much as prayer for him." What William Law meant by that is that your own heart will change toward a person if you begin to be the one that prays for that person. Maybe there's somebody in your life who you have a really hard time with. They have hurt you, or they've caused pain to you in some way, and you cannot say truly from your heart that you love that person. You can't even say you like them. There's just something in your heart against them because of what you know they have done, maybe to you or maybe to someone you loved. And yet God wants to do something in your life and in your family's life. And his prescription to you is, pray for that person. Ask me to bless that person. Ask me to forgive that person. And I'll tell you, you cannot become somebody's intercessor without your heart changing. You're praying for them to change, but I tell you, if you begin to pray for them with the heart of God, which guaranteed is the heart of love, because God loves every person, even the person in the deepest sin, because he longs for them to change, to turn to him, to be changed by God. And if you take on that heart of the Lord for that person, praying and asking God to help them and to change them and to bring change into their life, bring a revelation of himself to them. And you ask, don't hold their sin against them. Bless them. And you begin to become the intercessor for that person, your heart will change toward them. There's nothing that makes us love a man so much as prayer for him. Profound statement. And the Lord knew it's just what Job needed to do to turn his own situation around. You know, when people are deeply hurt by others, they would rather pray that God severely chasten the guilty party for causing them pain. But God's prescription for Job's healing and restoration, and his prescription for yours, demands that you and that Job extend mercy and actually ask God to bless them. How effective was God's prescription for relieving Job's pain and turning his circumstance around? Well, you could say it was nothing less than life-changing. His results were astonishing. It says in Job 42:10, as we just heard, "The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold." I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says, "When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before." Do you remember from the very beginning of the book of Job, the number of Job's livestock? The first chapter of Job tells us he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. But after God finished restoring him, now remember, he lost all those livestock, all 7,000 sheep, all 3,000 camels. So he had nothing left. He was bankrupt completely. But after God finished restoring him, Job had 14,000 sheep, exactly twice as much as he had before. 6,000 camels, exactly double. 1,000 yoke of oxen, exactly double. 1,000 female donkeys. God is a very good accountant. And he restored double for everything the devil had stolen from Job. And then God went on to restore Job's family by giving him 7 sons and 3 daughters in the latter part of his life. I love this. Did you remember the names of those daughters? His youngest daughter's name was Karen Hepek, which means, this is powerful, plenty restored. Isn't that beautiful? God's restoration was so very complete. It wasn't just he returned him to where he was before. He doubled what Job had. It was phenomenal. Have you had some deep disappointment in your life? Are you walking through that disappointment right now? Take God's prescription. Forgive. Release the person. And pray for the blessing of those who either caused it or who abandoned you in the midst of your trouble. Then God can intervene and turn your situation around, just as he did for his servant Job. And then don't forget your part in this as well. Repent and ask God's forgiveness if you have blamed God for your circumstances. Job had to do that. He had to say, I repent in dust and ashes. He realized he had wrongly accused the Lord or come close to it in his case. Remember, God is not the thief. He is never a thief. He's never a destroyer, ever. God wants to bless you. But I have found in my own life and in the lives of the many people the Lord has had us work with in the ministry that he is always more interested in a person's heart condition than in their temporary or momentary discomfort. So God may not do any restoring for you. No, I guarantee you, he will not until you allow him to work on your heart condition, your heart attitude toward God and toward other people. Begin now to pray for everyone who may have disappointed you or hurt you in your life. You may not feel like it at first, but prayer for them will change your heart toward them. And then you will be ready to receive the restoration of Job. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you tomorrow for day 16 of my Everyday Bible. If you have enjoyed my Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.